Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Amen. I also wanted to thank everyone for, I wanted to thank everyone for the wonderful party that we had for Debbie Ramos. That was, Debbie, our heart, it was so fun to do that. That was just so amazing, and I enjoy things like that very, very much, just to bless people. Tell you what we have coming up. We have some exciting things coming up. Pam wanted me to especially mention that tomorrow night is Hey Jude. She's continuing on the book of Jude, and that was powerful last week. And I'm writing a message for next week that I can't wait for next week. Here's what it's going to be. So this is just a little commercial for next week. What if, instead of next week, instead of me and Pam or me preaching, what if we had a guest speaker and Jesus himself could speak to the church? Of course everyone would want to come, and of course everyone would want to hear, what does Jesus have to say to the church? Well, that's almost what's going to happen next week. I'm going to actually read the words of Jesus, but and he will be here because two or three are gathered, but that book of Revelation, that message to the seven churches, that he, and so next week, expect to be corrected, expect to be encouraged. Jesus not only made correction and he told us to repent, but he also encouraged the churches when they were faithful and when they did love God. And so we're going to look at all those messages to the churches next week. And so I'm excited about that because we know it's what God is saying right now. And then Monday we have, Hey Jude, which will be amazing. And Pam says we're doing great and that I should go ahead and take some more time. So, Pam, I know you have a thing you wanted to do beyond the message, right? Okay, I'm going to just give you my little 5 minutes here. You know, every week I tell you I don't care anymore about whether a sermon is clever. When I was in Bible school, we'd want there to be a twist where the minister would say, and therefore, you see this, and you go, oh, I never saw that before, and it was just so amazing the way the minister did the words. But anymore, what I realize, what I want to get out of church is just a connection with God. And it doesn't matter if someone impresses you or not with their speaking ability. The whole point is, like with worship, we get out of worship what we put into it. And if we can pull on heaven, we can pull during worship, and we can pull during our prayer time with God. I was thinking about something that happened to me a long time ago when I was in Bible school. And there are some encounters that you have with God that leave a lasting impression on you. I distinctly remember being saved. I remember being filled with the Holy Spirit. I remember times where those are the times that are amazing times that you really. But I was when I was in Bible school, what was great about that is my whole job, other than a part-time job, but my whole job was to get close with God and to move forward with God. And I remember I went out to the pool, which is it's a great place to talk to God. It was a swimming pool in our apartment complex. And I had just taken a dip in the pool. I had a towel, and it was beautiful weather. Just couldn't ask for more perfect weather. And I had a copy of The Father and His Family by E.W. Kenyon with me. And I began to read, and E.W. Kenyon was saying that the Father, the whole reason for creation is the Father wanted a family. And he was saying that Jesus is the vine and we're the branches. And he was saying that the very presence of God was part of us. And he began to talk about our relationship with God in a way that I hadn't thought of before. And he kept pounding on the fact that we're friends of God, that we're children of God, that we're the bride of Christ, the intimacy that is available to us. And I have to be honest with you. Even to this day, I continue to try to develop that epiphany, that the presence of God can be something that I can touch, that God can touch my heart, that we can go to an altar. And this morning, I just have no words, because as I was at the altar and I just felt like the rain was coming down and I felt such a peace of God. And I thought, this is available to us. And just to get a little bit philosophical, and I'll be short, I know I haven't been, I'm sorry. But sometimes when God touches your heart in a way, it's almost indescribable, like Paul says. I can't even describe heaven. It's so amazing. But as I was praying this morning, and I had such an amazing time at the altar, just the peace of God was just flooding over me. And here's what I want to ask you, and you have all said this before. Doesn't there have to be more to life than this? Whatever you're living in your life, whatever struggles, and you say to yourself, doesn't there have to be more? And I want to say to you, amen, sister, amen, brother. There is more. That you could connect with God, that you could touch the heart of God, and he comes by invitation. The Holy Spirit only comes by invitation. And if you want to be altered, find your way into an altar. And here's why the altar is so wonderful. Another 60 seconds and I'm done, and then we'll get to the message. The reason the altar is so wonderful is, number one, first of all, to everyone in this church, when we are worshiping, this altar is open. Yeah. Now, yeah. Here's why you shouldn't come to the altar. People will look at you. People will think about you. Yeah. People might say, and that is the dumbest thing in the world. You are at church where we have come to worship God. You should feel like these altars are open all the time. But that's not the best part. When you come to an altar and lay down, you become the sacrifice. I'm a living sacrifice. And you tell God, I'm throwing my body on the altar, and I'm saying that all that I am belongs to you. And at that altar, you can lay it all down. You can lay down the past, you can ask for forgiveness, you can repent, and you can lay down the worries, and God will alter you.
Amen. 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 You know, if I had one question that I could ask people who don't know Jesus and who don't have a relationship with Jesus, it would be this: how on earth are you here? How have you made it this far? I don't know about you, but, you know, I've said this before when I talked and spoke about the three Hebrew children in the fire. You know, so many people tell that story and they say, well, they were thrown in the fire and then Jesus came and stepped in the fire. And I always say, no, 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 no. Jesus was already in the fire, or they would have been burned to a crisp. They would have been, everybody else that was thrown in the fire without Jesus was burned to a crisp. You know that, right? About the three Hebrew children. Let me say something. God has literally walked me out of every fire that I have ever been in. Every single fire, every storm we've come through. I don't know what people do without Jesus. I don't know how they go to Walmart and park their car without Jesus, without screaming at somebody or bashing into somebody. I don't know. I don't get that, because I need Jesus on my best day as much as I need him on my worst day. And maybe we think we don't because we're having a good day. That's just another lie of the enemy. I need him. But this is the word that the Lord gave me and put on my heart late in the night, last night. And this is a Rhema word for you and I. I want to say something to you prophetically. I believe that through the cross, you're going to recover absolutely everything that the enemy tried to take from you. I don't care what it is that he thinks he's stolen from you. And I'm about to prove it to you from the Word of God. In 1 Samuel 30, 18 to 20, King David had that happen to him. How many of you have sons and daughters you're still believing God for? And grandchildren and friends and relatives, lost people. Well, the enemy came and took David's wives, took sons, took daughters of all the people. It's as if an enemy came in this church and he took every son and every daughter he thought he could get, and he took them away and he took them captive, because that is what happened to Dave, King David. The Amalekites did that to them. And David and the men came home and they cried until they had no strength left in them. But after they were finished crying, they got the priest, they got the pastor, and they said, King David said, if I do go and fight, will I get it all back? And the Lord spoke, and he said, you're going to get it all back. I promise you, God doesn't lie. They got back every son. They got back every daughter. Do you want your son and your daughter? Do you want your grandchildren? Do you want that neighbor? They got back every single one. But this is something I love. Listen to this. They took back all the things too, but something else happened. The Bible says, and David took plunder. You know what that means? He took some of the stuff that the enemy had. He started dragging the gold and silver out of their camp. You know what? Did that belong to him? Everything belongs to God. Yes, he was able to do that. And I want to say that to you because God told me to tell you that in the night. You're going to get everything back. Whatever you feel is lost, don't be discouraged. You don't have to cry. Get ready to fight, because you're going to get everything that the enemy thought he took from you back. You can go into the enemy's camp. That just ain't no song. Okay, I went to the enemy's camp. We can actually do that. You know, our message today is so interesting because of Tony and the situation we're in. I titled this, I Will Worship You. You know why? Because I can't title this, You Worship God. Because worship is a gift that nobody can worship for me. Somebody can come in and preach for Pastor Ken and I. Somebody could come in if Tony wasn't here and lead the worship for Tony, but there is no one on earth that can worship for you. Worship, I will worship you, Lord. It is a decision you make, and we don't just worship and praise God when it's convenient, when it's good, when God does what we think he should do. You know, so many people say, Ken, I was thinking about this week. I read this week. It said, How can you hear from God when you've already decided what you want God to say to you? I know how you can hear from God when you worship, when you come to the altar, and when, like Ken said, you become that sacrifice. Here I am, Lord. You know, you can get a lot of people out to a party, but how many people can you get to an altar of the Lord? And, you know, I believe that that's really where we belong. We belong at the altar of the Lord. And so today we're talking about the topic of worship. He is worthy of our worship. He deserves our worship. Can I say something else? Worship brings breakthrough in your life. And you know already my definition of breakthrough is when I'm about to break and God comes through. Do you know that God always comes through? And it seems like he delays, like with Lazarus at the tomb, but that was God's perfect timing. He did not delay. God came right in time. Can I say that to you today? If you're discouraged today, that God shows up right in time, your situation, and whatever it is, we can worship God. You know, the enemy hates worship, Ken. He hates it. He absolutely hates it because it brings breakthrough in our lives. So, Ken?
Worship is such a powerful subject, and I'm reminded in the Bible that often when they would have to go to war, there was at least one time when he said, put the worshipers up front, put the tambourine players up. You know, can you imagine having a bunch of guys with bow and arrows and swords, and you go, chorus, we need the chorus up here. We need the tambourine players up here. But God knows the power of worship, that it causes the Holy Spirit to come in. And, you know, of course worship is something that you do, but it is also something that you are, right? You are a worshiper. And it's almost like when they said, we cannot help but speak the name of Jesus. When praise is inside of you, it's almost like we can't help but worship God. We worship Him because He is worthy of worship. And even now in heaven, that worship is just going on. It's just continual. It's just a continual worship. And when we look at the Bible, for you know where I'm going with this. Who's our example of our worshiper? Who do we want to be like? That to me, and there's so many good examples. Yes. To me, it's the woman that took the perfume and she went and, yes. You know, the reason that she strikes a chord with me, she didn't stand up and say, "Hey, everyone, put a spotlight on me. I'm getting, you know, I got my makeup on. I'm about to, everyone, watch what I'm going to do. I'm going to sing this amazing song." She humbled herself. Now, the spotlight was on her, but she didn't put it on herself. It was like, why is she doing that? And think about everyone in that room. Who is closest to Jesus? The worshiper. Always the worshiper. So it's possible to worship the things of the world. It's like Pam said, it's possible to ask God to join your plan. God, here's my plan. Bless it. And I'm gonna go a little bit philosophical, but I think the word is philosophical. So, okay, this is one of those things that is so obvious, but it still can be an epiphany. There are almost 7 billion people on the planet, so you might not feel that special. I'm just one of, you know, how could God think I'm special? There's so many of us. If you take something valuable, whether it's a valuable car or a valuable watch or whatever, the fact that you make a lot of them doesn't make it not valuable, right? I mean, if you have a very valuable car, it doesn't matter if you make 1,000 of them or 10,000, as long as you make it with. So you are wonderfully made. You are an amazing. But we don't go to God, even though we meet as a church and we worship as a church. When you close your eyes, it's just you and God. And that's the simple thing that I want to tell you. Think about this a second. There are 7 billion people on the planet. But when you close your eyes, you don't say, "God, me and 100 people are coming to you." When you close your eyes, it's the way it was meant to be. It's only you and God, and you can take advantage of that. Imagine this, that we are nothing. We are a speck of dust. We are but dust. We are so small. But what is man that thou art mindful of him? Thou hast made him just a little bit lower than Elohim, than God himself. We are made in his image. We are made in his likeness. And if you think that your life, that you're missing something, you know, there should be more to life. And why am I just going to work and coming home and just getting older? Why isn't there more to life? There is. Jesus put it this way. I'm the vine. You're the branches. We're supposed to have this dynamic life that's happening where, can you think of anything more exciting? I mean, my goodness, Pam, if I love space and astronomy, and if they called me and said I could go to Mars, I would say, oh, that would be amazing. I would like to do an adventure like that. There is such a bigger adventure, whereas us can connect with God. And sometimes I sit there and think, God is my father. Sometimes I think God is my friend. I'm a friend of God. And we don't always live that. We don't always believe that. But we need to meditate on that because it is the truth. Jesus prayed that to the Father that they would know, that we would know that he loves us as much as he loves Jesus. That blew me away, Pam. The Father loves me as much as he loves Jesus. So we need our eyes opened to the epiphany of really who God is and who we are to God. And because, as I said last week, it is shame that drives most of our action, and it is a recognition of forgiveness that frees us.
I don't know if you know how valuable you are to God, but value is assigned by what someone is willing to pay for an item. Am I right? Remember I told you the story about the vase that was dirty and that was at the garage sale, and the girl bought it, and it was appraised for $18,000, and then the Antique Roadshow appraised it for much, much more. Value is assigned by what someone will pay. Jesus paid the highest price for you and I. And here's what I want to say. There, a young man that I know had told me the other night, he was discouraged. And he was talking to me about how he wants to be in ministry, this young man. And he said, I really don't have no great ministry. And I said, let me tell you something, son. Every single thing you do in the kingdom of God is great because he is a great God. If you give a cup of water, it is great in the kingdom of God. And you do have a great ministry. If you save one soul from a burning hell, you have a great ministry. But we all have opportunity. And this is something I really want to drive this point home. People say, this person's anointed to do that. This person's anointed to sing. This person's anointed to dance or to preach. That's not really the truth. Because those are assignments. Those are not anointings. The anointing is one and all. The anointing is only, there's only one anointing, the anointing of God. It's not anointed to do a certain thing. That's your assignment to do different things. You may have different giftings and assignments, but your anointing comes from God. There's only one. Let me prove that to you. There was King Saul, and he got anointed by the prophet Samuel. He was actually anointed to be the first king of Israel. He could have been Israel's first king and Israel's best king, right? He blew it. He discounted the anointing and disrespected the anointing through disobedience. Along comes David, and God anoints David, a shepherd boy. Was it a different anointing that caused David to succeed? No. They were both anointed. God gave them both the same opportunity to succeed. Saul could have been Israel's first king and Israel's best king. But it turned out that David was Israel's most beloved king and Israel's most successful king that we talk about today. Judas had the exact same opportunity as all of those other disciples. Exactly, so much so, and I've told you this before, that the night that Jesus was betrayed, he handed Judas the first piece of bread, and history tells us that whoever you gave the first piece of bread to was the honored guest. Jesus gave that to Judas that night, proving that you may betray me, but I still honor you. You had this opportunity. You could still turn away, Judas. We have been anointed by God. The Holy Spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit, what we do with that is up to us. But it begins with what we're talking about today, worshiping the Lord God. None of this will happen if you're playing games, if you're going through the motions, if we don't have a relationship with God that is genuine, that is sincere. Listen to what the word says. Exodus 34:14. For you, and you can go right ahead and put your name there. You, Frida, you, Tony, you, Pam, you, Ken, you, Janice, you, Anna, you shall worship no other God. Don't even think about giving your heart to anyone or anything else first. For the Lord, whose name is Jealous. Did you know that God, his name is Healer, Deliverer, Savior, his name is also Jealous? That's a name of God. He's a jealous God. He's not jealous of what you can do. He's jealous for you. He wants you to himself. And I love, Ken, what you talked about. A while ago you talked about, and I know she's one of your favorites, the woman who poured out her alabaster box at the feet of Jesus, and they were so angry and offended by her worship, by the way. And they said this could have been sold for money. But history tells us about that woman. That alabaster box and oil, theologians will tell you, that was no doubt her dowry. It was very, very, very expensive. It was worth about a year and a half wages, that alabaster box. We don't get that. What she was doing at the feet of Jesus is saying, I am pouring out everything. This would have gone to my husband. You know what she was saying? Jesus, you are my husband. You are my provider. You're my husband. I don't need the money that could be sold. They told her she could have sold it. She was worshiping God. And when we worship, we have to give him everything. Here, Lord, take my pain. Take my anger. Take my take everything, Jesus. I'm yours.
So I'm going to close with this, with these thoughts. If something isn't real, we don't want it, of course. That way we guard our heart. We make sure that the relationship that we have with God is real. There is no reason that in my life and that in your life that you cannot have personal revival in your life. Don't wait for a move of God. Move into God. There's no reason that at our homes and in our cars, and that's what God is looking at anyway. The fact that we all come to church and raise our hand is good. That's good. But God is looking at what are we doing when we're alone? Is our heart crying out for him? And that's the reality of Christianity, is that I know that anywhere, at any time in the day, I can close my eyes and say, God, it's me. It's Bud. And he knows who I am, and I can say, God, I want you to know my heart. I want you to. There's no sense in hiding anything from you. You know who I am. You know my past. You know my present. You even know my future. And to constantly be connecting with God, constantly asking him to change you and alter you, to make you into the person that he wants you to be, that you want you to be, and to continue to reach out to God. That the fact that Jesus said, I'm the vine and you're the branches, and that's it, that there is a connection that is there. And through worship, you can gain so much ground. You can accomplish more in 5 minutes through worship than you could in 5 years of counseling. Isn't that right? Can't the Holy Spirit do more in 5 minutes than 50 years of counseling? Amen. And he comes by invitation. And it's like, I'm asking for those big things in my life. God, I'm asking you to invade my heart, invade my body, invade my soul, invade my thoughts. And he comes by invitation. I think those are the kind of prayers that get answered. And I just don't want anyone to ever think that it is so hard to connect with God and it is a lifetime thing. He's there if you're calling out to him. If you're crying out to God, it doesn't matter. He knows your voice. He knows who you are, and he will hear that voice. So I encourage you to keep worshiping. Keep worshiping and becoming a worshiper.
We're going to close in prayer, and these are my final thoughts. I had an experience with God. It was about 6 years ago, and I was driving along, and I was worshiping. And anointed worship will take you right into the presence of the Lord. But I wound up crying and just weeping and worshiping God, and I had to pull over to the side of the road. It was intense how the Holy Spirit just came in my car. And I was telling God, I said, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. You've been so good to me. You've always been there. You've never left me. I've never felt alone. I've never felt unloved. You love me. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, it's different, Pam. It's not just I love you, it's I'm in love with you. And he gave me this example instantly. How many of you have ever been in love with someone? If you're in love with someone, that person is literally all you think about day and night. I'm in love with them. All you have to do for a young girl, I meet with young girls. A few years ago, Dan's cousin asked to meet with me, Naomi. And she said to me, she said, I've met this young man. And she said, you know, Pastor Pam, I just want some advice about whether I should pursue this or not, or da-da-da. And Naomi told me, she said, I'm going to go really slow. And when I walked out of there, I called Sandra and Dan and said, get ready for a wedding. We're going to a wedding. I said, we are heading to a wedding. I'm going to get my dress because that young lady is in love. All she talked about was him. And I know that God's in love with me, but I want to be in love with him. I want him to be my number one for all of my life. I want to be so crazy, head over heels in him, that people think she's just a little bit off, just a peculiar person. That's what God wants out of us. He wants our heart. And to worship him, when you're hurting, when you're broken, get on your face and worship God. Turn off the radio, turn off the news. For goodness sakes, get off the internet and just worship God, and you will see breakthrough in your life, I promise. Let's stand and go before the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to gather here once again today, Father God. And I thank you for Lucy, and I'm saying this in a prayer and also Let me tell you about Lucy. Lucy went to the hospital. She's been about five times for her heart, you know, in the past couple years. God came through for us 2 days ago. And it's just been on my heart how he does these things. Every time Lucy went for her heart, they would do EKGs, they would do all kinds of tests, they would do blood work, and they would send her home and say, nothing's wrong with you. So Lucy went to the hospital again the other day, and they wanted to send her home. And Lucy said, no, I'm not going home. I want you to do an angiogram on me. We wouldn't have Lucy today if that she hadn't have done that. She said God led her to tell those doctors to do that angiogram on her, and her artery was 90% blocked and another, and they've put some stents in. That's why she's not here today. But I tell you that God is a miracle-working God. God has your back. Whatever you're going through, God has your back. So, Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We're going to worship you all the days of our life. We're going to fall on our faces, God, and worship you, not on the bad days, just the bad days. On the good days, we're going to worship you because we choose to worship you, Jesus, because we want to be so in love with you, Father God. Wake us up in the night. Speak to us, Lord. We will listen to you, God, and we will do what you have asked us to do. In Jesus' name, we thank you for this day. Amen. Congratulations, Tony, Lesvia, Sherry, and family, and Ness. We're so glad you are here. Erica, Tony, we acknowledge you all.